Thank you, Alice. So today we counted the Omer, we counted day number one, or day number 21 today. And so what I want to do this morning for my message, I'd like to open with the Torah, and then as we progress into the message, I want to really talk about something that happened in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament. So let's open this morning, Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. We'll get right to our scriptures this morning. And God says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." This is the counting of the Omer. You know, many times people, especially in the Jewish communities, they don't even know about the counting of the Omer. If you ask most Jewish people, they don't even know what it is. They've never really heard it, or maybe they've heard it. They don't know about it. The Orthodox community are still counting the Omer. In the Messianic community, we do count the Omer. But we need to understand, it's not just a tradition. It's something that God actually commanded us to do. And so all of the feasts of the Lord are listed in order in Leviticus 23, and here this is part of in the listing of all the feasts. And it seems sort of just sort of stuck in the middle of the counting of the Omer of all the feasts. And sort of stuck in the middle because, after all, God for some reason he wants us to count the days between Passover and this day that we know as Shavuot. In Hebrew means weeks. The church calls it Pentecost, in the South, Pentecost, because Pentecost means 50, and so in Latin. And so it is Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. But the thing is that God has us counting. But the thing is, he could have just commanded Israel to count between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Count the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He said, count between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. He could have had us count those days. He could have had us counting Sukkot to Passover. And then he would have adjusted his timeline and whatever he was going to do. But he chose to have us count between Passover, Pesach, and this feast that he had called Shavuot, and it was 50 days. But when we see with new eyes, because of Messiah in our lives, and we start proceeding with that new heart, we start seeing these events and these progression, so to speak, of the things of the harvest, what God did. He set up the harvest with the feasts. He had this wonderful way. Because we've got to remember, God has control of all the timing and the seasons and the time and everything. And so he coordinated the harvest with the feasts, and the feasts with the harvest, and also with the coming of Messiah, and with Messiah's life, and what Messiah's life would be, and what he would do in his ministry, and then even Messiah's return. And so, also in that, this wonderful plan of salvation that he has. So, and I know that I mentioned this a number of times during the year because we have all these different feasts, but let me just remind you again. Just by the feasts alone, we know that there is something significant in Messiah and the return of Messiah, which Jewish community really just, they never really believe, or they wanted to acknowledge that the Messiah would come 2 times. So we have the feasts are the spring feasts and the fall feasts. And between the spring feasts and the fall feasts is this long summer. And so it's as if Messiah came, he had his ministry, and the spring feasts are all fulfilled by Yeshua's life and his ministry. And then we have this long summer. And then we have the fall feast, and when he returns, he will fulfill those fall feasts. So just as we today, we have this long, dry period, dry wilderness experience, so to speak, that we are waiting for Messiah to return. And here we are in our wilderness, and we're in the world, and we're trying to relate in the world and do things in the world and do God's work in this world. And we're, again, trying to be in this world, but not of it. And so it's like God's seasons, that this is this summer period. And then we will see the return of Messiah. And so the counting between Passover and Shavuot is no different, and it is just as significant as all of the feasts. So this morning I'm talking about a few events that happened during the counting of the Omer. This morning I want to look at Yeshua's appearances, in particular his third appearance to the disciples during that counting of the Omer. And I believe that this event that I want to talk about this morning just shows us, it helps us to enjoy a life of victory because of what he did. And sometimes we read about this event and we read about it and we look at it in one specific way, but I wanted to sort of look at it just a little bit different so that we could relate it to our lives. And so the first 40 days of the counting of the Omer, Yeshua walked among us after his resurrection. He walked among us for 40 days and he did miracles and he spoke to people, countless numbers of people, and he did a lot of things and he walked and he was with us for 40 days. And then after the 40 days, he ascended back to the Father. And then 10 days later, we see that there is this wonderful, magnificent thing that happens, the coming of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, on Shavuot. And so let's look at from the book of Mark, Mark 16:9, just this one verse, and then we'll go on. When Yeshua rose early in the first day, this is the first day, it's the first, he appeared first to Miriam of Magdala, from whom he had expelled seven demons. So we see this is the first day. This is day number one that he appears. He first appears to a few of the women, and specifically it tells us that from Miriam, Magdala Miriam, of course in the, you know, in the English versions they say Mary Magdalene, but she was Miriam. Mark 16:14, we go and it's the next day. We see later Yeshua appeared to the 11, the disciples, as they were eating, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And so the women came to him and to the disciples and they said, "We saw Yeshua." And they didn't believe. So he rebuked them for their hardened heart, that they didn't believe the report. And so this is day number two, and now he appears to the disciples. Now let's go on, and we're going to, and it's in 1 Corinthians, but it's actually the report from Shaul, and he tells us about something, one of the things that happened during those 40 days. And so 1 Corinthians 15:6, after that, he, Yeshua, was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So Shaul is telling us he had firsthand report from some of those 500 people, over 500 people, he had a firsthand report by people that were still alive and they were still there. And they tell Shaul about how Yeshua appeared to them and what he was doing. And then it says, and some had fallen asleep. Some had already died. Some had passed on. But he's telling us that he knows about that report. It's not just something he heard stories about, and maybe it was true or not. He heard it from the eyewitnesses. He heard it from the people that were there when Yeshua appeared to them during the 40 days. And so today, we are one day past, and we're in the counting of the Omer, day number 21 here. We're one day past the midpoint, so to speak, of his 40 days. just to put it in perspective here. So he had these 40 days of ministry and miracles and healings that were going on. We see the one report, but we know that this happened because he was for 40 days. We know that there were a lot of people, lives that were touched during this time that Yeshua walked among us for those 40 days after his resurrection. And here's the thing, it is Yeshua, the resurrected Yeshua, that wants to be involved in our lives even today. He wants to be involved with our lives. He chose to be involved with people's lives in those 40 days. And so the thing is, he wants to be involved in our lives even today. And so now during these 40 days, the disciples, they didn't really know when they would see Yeshua, they didn't really know at first that it was him. They didn't recognize him. And they didn't know when Yeshua would show up during those 40 days. People didn't know. Maybe he just would suddenly appear. But there was not necessarily an announcement, here comes Yeshua. So they would never know from day to day when he would just appear to the people and do these things and healings and miracles. So let's go to Matthew 28:10. Then Yeshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So there's at this one point that he said to them, "Hey, listen, don't be afraid. It's me. It's Yeshua. And I want you to go, and I want you to tell the brethren, I want you to tell people to go to Galilee, the area of Galilee, and then they'll see me. I will be there. I will be there." And so they followed orders, and they went back to the Galilee area, the Tiberias, the Galilee area. And, you know, if we look at this thing, we realize it must have been really hard for them. I mean, these are guys for 3+ years, for over 3 years, these disciples followed him on a daily basis. They would, and they would just get ready day by day to walk with Yeshua and follow him and see the miracles and pray with him and speak with him and eat with him for 3.5 years. And now they wouldn't have him there on a daily basis. For 3.5 years, it was their life on a daily basis. You know, if you do something for 3 years every day, it changes your life. No matter what it is, you know, you're used to doing certain things. It's hard to sort of break away from that idea of what you're doing in 3.5 years when you're doing it on a daily basis. And now he was back from the dead, and he was telling them, "Go to Galilee, and I want you to wait." So it had to be hard for them. So when we get into situations, and we know that we've seen these things even happening in the Word, but when we get in these situations, sometimes it's hard when someone says to you, or when I say to you, you hear the Word, or you hear someone giving a message, and they say, "You have to wait on the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord." We know that it's not always easy to do that, but the reality is we need to have faith enough to wait on the Lord and know that the Lord has perfect timing, and he knows what the timing is best for each and every one of us. And so we've heard the prophets say it. We've heard rabbis and pastors say it. We read it in the Word, and it's true. We need to wait on the Lord. And we know that it had to be hard when they heard it from the lips of Yeshua, "To wait for me in Galilee." And we are warned not to, and I know over the years, I've said this a couple of times to people, don't jump the gun. You know, we see in the scriptures how a lot of people got into a lot of trouble because they jumped the gun two of them that stand out in Jewish history, the building of the golden calf that we just spoke about a couple of weeks ago in the Torah portion, because they didn't want to, you know, Moses went up 40 days and they got all antsy, and what's going to happen? What are we going to do? We can't wait anymore. Let's do something. We're going to build the golden calf. We're going to start worshiping that. Right. And when is the other time? We're going way back before even Moses and the Mount Sinai experience. Abraham was, God spoke to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. But it wasn't good enough for Abraham to wait on the Lord. And so he got his maidservant there, Hagar, and he had sex with her so she would have a child. And I guess he was lucky she had a son right away. Otherwise, maybe he had to keep trying that again and again. I don't know. But the thing is, she had a son, and to him it was like, this is the son that God promised. He didn't wait on the Lord. And because of that incident, what we're having today in the Middle East is because of what Abraham, not waiting on the Lord. And so we need to wait on the Lord and not decide to do things in our hands. And I know it's hard sometimes to do it and just to sit back and say, I know, but you got to remember, you know that it was the Lord that told you. It wasn't just what you want to hear. It's what God told you to do. See, that's the thing. And so Yeshua's mission had already been fulfilled. He showed who he was. He showed that he was not just the Son of God, but that he was God in the flesh. He shed his blood. He took on the sins of the nation of Israel and ultimately the sins of the world, of all the nations. He took on our sins and he shed his blood. And then he came back. He was resurrected. He came back from the dead. He completed that ministry. He completed that ministry. And I'm sure there were many questions back then, even with these. Look, we understand, we see something, and I think there's a connection here where, you know, sometimes even people say, I know sometimes people would say, you know, those disciples weren't really born again until Shavuot and the Holy Spirit fell on them, that they weren't really born again. But I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know, just like all of us, they were a little bit broken here and there. Listen, they had unbelief. They added too many questions when Yeshua told them to do something. They weren't perfect. So none of us are perfect. The Torah portion says, you are holy because I am holy, but that holy doesn't mean that we're perfect people. And so even the disciples, it says that they had unbelief. They didn't believe. They didn't believe in the resurrected Yeshua at first. But Yeshua completed his ministry. And I'm sure they had plenty of questions. Now they come to see Yeshua. They recognize Yeshua. They realize who he is on the few times that they see him. Yeshua, is it time for the kingdom now? Are you bringing in the kingdom to us right now? I'm sure they wanted to know. And we read about that. They wanted, now is now the time of the kingdom? They wanted to know. Is it time for Israel to rise up and overthrow Rome? Is it time for us to take off these shackles from the Roman Empire that's on us? Is it time for us to be freed from this? Yeshua, is there time to reestablish the authority in the temple that became, and remember, the temple was still, it hadn't been destroyed yet for some years later. So Yeshua, is it time for us to reestablish authority in the temple? Because we know that the priests and the priesthood got all corrupt at that time, of the time of Yeshua. So these disciples saying, okay, now you're back, you've returned. Is it time now for us to reestablish authority in the temple? These are questions that they had. I'm sure they had these questions. I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying, I think they could have been. But I think these are good questions that they would have had at that time. So let's go to John, Yochanan 21:3. So Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. He said to the rest of the disciples, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going to go with you. And then they went out and immediately got into the boat that night, and then they caught nothing. So, you know, maybe Peter got bored. He got tired of waiting. He said, I'm going to go fishing. We're waiting. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go fishing. You know, he was a professional. He was a fisherman. That was his occupation. Maybe he needed the money. You know, he had been following Yeshua for over 3 years. I don't know about how many fish he had time to catch. You know, maybe he needed the money for himself and his family. I don't know. But he was that fisherman. And I'm sure he missed fishing, just like guys that play golf. If they don't play golf every week, they have withdrawals. Is that right, Bob? Yeah. In the middle of the night, they start doing this. That's in the middle of the night. That's right. He was a fisherman. This was his life. I'm sure he missed fishing also. So anyway, he says to the guys, hey guys, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're coming with you. And they all went to the boat. Now, it's interesting because John, Yohanan, you know, when we read things, you know that when God puts something in that book, it's there for a reason. Why in the world would he have to say about these guys, they went all night and they caught nothing? He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to tell them how they failed. They went fishing and they were there all night and they caught nothing. But it's interesting that he says that, because here we've all experienced in our lives, in times that we try to be productive in our lives, to do things in our lives, or maybe think about that we think we're being productive in our lives and doing something that's good. And at the end, we realize, you know, I spent all this time doing whatever I thought was going to be the right thing to do, and I wasted my time. For whatever it is, if it's a hobby, if it's something that you did at work, whatever it is, maybe sometimes you think you're doing something from the Lord, and then all of a sudden you realize, I wasted my time. So these guys were out there all night, the professional fishermen, and they're out there all night and they catch nothing. And so, you know, don't we do this in our lives? What did I do? You know, okay, oh well, back to square one. I'm going to start all over again, and you know, whatever I do, whatever time. And sometimes we think we wasted time to do that. And what we see is not always what God is seeing. What we experience, it's not always what God has experienced for us. And so sometimes we need to let God open our eyes. Sometimes we do something and we fail. But if God is really in our lives and God is really for us, and he is for us, and he wants to see the best for us, he will even let the so-called failures in your life be a learning experience, an education experience for us. And they will allow us to better our lives from that day on, if we allow it to be an experience for us, a learning experience. You know, look, okay, Joe, I'll say Joe because Joe's not here this week. Okay, Joe, so we know that you did this. You failed miserably. What do you learn from the experience? You see, because God wants us to learn, so we won't do the same thing again. Or maybe we'll do it a little different way. And so God, sometimes we need God to really open our eyes and to understand that, or, you know, to understand those things in our lives. So Peter, Shimon, and his disciples, out all night, looking for fish, and they kept throwing out their nets all night, throwing out their nets all night, throwing out those nets all night, and they didn't come up with any fish. It says nothing. There wasn't even one fish. They were probably even fishing and throwing those nets out in areas that they knew were fish. They knew that lake, the Sea of Galilee, the lake. It's really a huge lake, and it's so huge that they call it a sea. But they, for years and years, they fished it professionally. They knew where to cast those nets out. And so they did it all night. Let's go to John 21, verses 4, 5, and 6. But when the morning had now come, Yeshua stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Yeshua. Again, they didn't know who it was. And when Yeshua said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I'm sure they cast it everywhere. But Yeshua said, "All right, cast it out on that right side right now." And John tells us that from nothing that they caught in their nets, it says there were so many fish in the net that they were afraid the nets were going to break because of the multitudes of fish that were there. Listen, we may not have all the answers. And I know for sure we don't have all the answers. But Yeshua does have the answers. He knows. He knows your situations. He knows what's going on. He knows your failures. He knows the time you spend sometimes almost futilely spending. And you know how sometimes you go, "Oh man, I got to go all the way back from square one." He knows it. He knows it. God knows. God knows. Yeshua knows. And the thing is, Yeshua led them in a direction. And God, if we allow him to, he will lead us in the right direction in these times of our lives. One more from John 21:14. We'll look at another verse. Because this was now the third time Yeshua showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So at this point, it was the third instance, the third time that he specifically appeared before the disciples, just to see where we are in the timeline. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, listen, God, you have created everything in this world, and here I am stuck in this world, and look at all the things that I have to go through every day, and I suffer every day. I have all these problems in my life, and we have things to do. And there are a lot of things sometimes we start complaining about in our lives, this will happen at various times in our lives, and we could get negative. We could really get negative about what's happening. God, why did you allow these things to happen in our lives? And we do that, and we all do that. But listen, God in his fullness can see what we can't. And we need to have faith to understand he knows. He knows it. He knows it better than we know what the situation is. And God, and I said in the beginning, this is a victory message. Really, he has victory. The end result is victory for each and every one of us. Now, we can say, well, the ultimate victory is that when Yeshua returns, or, you know, when it's our time to pass on, we're going to have victory because we're going to be in God in his everlasting kingdom. That's the ultimate victory. But the thing is, I believe that he will allow us to go through victories in our life, even here on earth. That there will be victories in our lives. And no matter what, sometimes the garbage that seems to be going on around us, he has victory for us. And he, I believe that he has victories for us that we can't even imagine in our lives. And sometimes there are little victories here and there, but sometimes they're just enough to keep us going. And I think sometimes that's the way he's going to give us things, just to keep us going and to charge us up and give us, increase that faith again and get us going and say, okay, thank you, Lord, let's get on. And maybe the next challenge is going to come up in our lives, but he'll do that because his timing is perfect. And he knows just how to do that with each and every one of us. But I believe sometimes we don't even imagine some of the things that he's going to allow as victories to come into our lives. And so we need to walk with him. We need to walk with him and really search our hearts and see what will make God happy for us to do. Understanding it will not earn us a smidge of salvation. That's not what it's all about. It's about doing things because we love the Lord, and we know that he loves us, and we want to do what he wants us to do, because if we understand that he wants us to do things that are best for us. And so we do these things not for salvation in any way, shape, or form, but we do them because God loves us and we should love him. And so we do these things. He's told us to do these things. He wants us to do these things, and so we do them. But we need to walk with him, and that's what the walk is all about. And so sometimes we need to cast out that net just one more time, like they did. They were casting out that net all night. And Yeshua said, you just need to cast that net out one more time. And so sometimes we need to do that. Just one more time, when we think that's it, we did it all, we came up with nothing, God is there to say, okay, I got you now, I've got your back, let's do it one more time. All right, and we need to have faith to understand that God is there to do that. And I believe that because we have read it, that it is possible. We read it, we see it, we see God doing, we see Messiah doing it, and so we know that it is possible. If it wasn't possible, if he didn't want us to learn from these things, you know what? It wouldn't be in the Bible. He wouldn't have it there. Why tempt us with things that he couldn't do? Look what I did for those people. I'm not doing it for you. He wouldn't do that. So he gives us these things. He gives us the stories and the events and all the things that happened and when Yeshua walked the earth. He gives it to us because he wants us to understand who he is and his nature and his character and how much he does love us. And so God's word is for us to know him. God's word is for us to understand him. God's word is for us to appreciate and love him. This is why he has given us the word. Otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed it to come through the thousands and thousands of years. But he wants us to do these things. So let's remember, we've got 29 remaining days. There was great expectation during these days of counting of the Omer. Because people never knew when Yeshua was going to show up. let's expect something to happen in your life in these counting of the Omer and the 40 days. We have 29 days left. Let's expect somehow the Lord's going to show up in your life, maybe when you're not even expecting it, but he's going to do something wonderful for you in these remaining 29 days. I would love to be able to hear stories over the next 29 days. People come to me or maybe email me, let me know, give us a call at the office. Something that marvelous. I always love to hear stories. I always love to hear when God intervenes and when he's doing a healing, when he's doing a wonderful work. Let's expect for him to do something good and wonderful, and without us even expecting it to happen in these 20 days. Let's use these days to do just that in our lives. And I'll be waiting to hear from each and every one of you, and maybe people coming up and tell everyone what a wonderful thing God did. These are exciting days. These are wonderful days. We'll be leading up to that, what happened 2,000 years ago, the event on Shavuot where the Ruach fell. And we thank God because the Ruach is in us today because of that event that happened 2,000 years ago. And so we are part of that. What we are experiencing in our lives today, we're part of what happened 2,000 years ago. So I'll be waiting and I'll be expecting. I'm not going to be actually sitting at the phone waiting for you, but I'd like to hear it anyway. But we thank you, Lord, for giving us these days. We thank you, Lord, for commanding us to do a counting. Those counting which will give us something each day to get up in the morning to say we have another day and we expect you, Lord, to do something special in our lives. Do it in your perfect timing with your perfect will. Lord, we thank you for intervening in our lives, being with us, allowing us to see victory in our lives. We thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.